Hello everyone, this is Jerry Pippin, and we're going to take a haunted road trip. In fact, John Kachuba is back with us. He's a college professor by day and a ghost hunter at night. We last talked to John in 2005, and that show's available here on this website. But John has had a lot of changes in his life, and one of those changes is the fact that he's now putting together a series as a consultant, an outside editor, an assignment editor, for a book series on haunted road trips. Ghost Hunting in Illinois and Ghost Hunting in Ohio are John's books, but now he has two more that he edited, and that's called Ghost Hunting in New Jersey and Ghost Hunting in Virginia. Without further ado, let's find out about this ghostly travel guide.
John, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Jerry. It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah, are you still a college professor?
I am, but I've sort of added on to that. I'm still teaching at Ohio University, but I have moved to Cincinnati, which is about 3 hours away. So I'm teaching in their distance learning program, and I'm also going to be teaching at the University of Cincinnati.
Well, things keep moving on, and speaking of moving on, you've moved on to New Jersey, is that right, as far as the haunting?
Right, well, what's actually happened is my first two state books, Ghost Hunting Ohio and Ghost Hunting Illinois, have been reprinted by Clarice Press here in Cincinnati, and Clarice is introducing an entire line of state ghost books called America's Haunted Road Trip. And I'm actually the editor for that series. And this year we came out with, in addition to my two books, a book about New Jersey and a book about Virginia. But they're written by different people. New Jersey is written by a ghost hunter there named Laura Laddick. And the Virginia book, Ghost Hunting Virginia, has been written by Mike Warhola.
Does this mean you've given up looking for ghosts yourself?
No, not at all. No, I'm going to continue probably writing a few state books, the states that I kind of enjoy writing about, but I'm also working on some other ghost project books now as well. So, no, I'm still doing that.
Well, great. Well, tell me a little bit about these two books and the entire series. Let's discuss it in detail here a little bit. What about the person who wrote the New Jersey book?
Sure. Well, Laura Laddick is the founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society, and she's been well-placed in the paranormal community in New Jersey for many years. So she's a great person to have written that book. The book is in press. They all came out this fall, so Ghost Hunting New Jersey is available. And it follows the same format as my Ghost Hunting Ohio and Ghost Hunting Illinois, in that all the places in the book are open to the public. So, you know, Laura's made sure these are places that people can go to on their own if they want to explore them. And I've asked all the writers to take a first-person approach, which means that, you know, Laura went to these places. And so what you're reading about is, you know, her experiences there, what she's encountered and everything else like that. And so the same thing also applies for Ghost Hunting Virginia by Mike Warhola. He's sort of new to the paranormal field, but he's a good writer, and he did the same thing. He traveled throughout Virginia, going to places that were haunted, open to the public, and wrote about them. It's going to be a good series, and we've already signed four writers for four books for next year, too.
And are we giving away any trade secrets if you tell me what they're writing about?
No, not at all. We signed Patty Starr to write Ghost Hunting Kentucky. We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
I know her very well.
Sure. Rosemary's been around for a long time. She's going to be writing Ghost Hunting Pennsylvania for us. Mike Warhola, who I just mentioned, is also going to write Ghost Hunting Maryland for next year. And we have April Slaughter in Texas, who will be writing Ghost Hunting Texas. So we'll have four new books coming out in the fall next year. We hope to roll out maybe three or four each year. And from different writers, people who are, you know, into the paranormal field, some who are fairly new, but all good writers and good investigators.
Yeah, let's get back to the New Jersey book, then we'll get to Virginia, and then
sure,
we'll discuss some of the future projects and talk about some of your experiences.
Okay.
As far as New Jersey and hauntings, you know, I'm familiar with New Jersey because of UFO sightings, the Carteret thing, and then the Jersey Devil down there in the...
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But what's this book concern? The whole state, or...
Right. Laura is covering the whole state, and again, the key here is that these are places that the public can actually visit. Whether you're a ghost hunter, in fact, or not, just interested, you can go to these places. And they range, in Laura's book, from places from the 18th century. She has the Spy House, which is a well-known 18th century haunted location in New Jersey. She has the Whistling Swan Tavern, which, again, is another old place that's been around since the 18th century. But she goes from there to places, for instance, she has a modern-day gentleman's club, we'll call it, that's haunted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A topless place, huh? I wonder if the ghosts are topless.
I don't know. Usually they're headless, you know, so I guess maybe that is topless.
Yeah, they might be literally topless.
Exactly.
No head.
That's right. So she's got a nice mix of places there, you know, including, like I say, places that are open, restaurants, hotels, I think a few state parks and places like that. But, you know, places that people can go to. And Laura... has been doing this for a long time, so she has a good reputation in the field, and people know her. She has a good following there.
The Virginia series.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that. That, you know, that's one of the original places in the country, so a lot of old things there.
Right, absolutely. Mike Warhola, the author, is something of an authority on the Civil War as well. So many of his locations in Virginia, as you might expect, have to do with the Civil War. He's got some of the various battlefields and places like that. He has a few buildings that were pressed into service during the war as hospitals, either for federal or Confederate troops. He has some of those things. But he also has some modern things. He has some universities in there, and he too has some taverns, some modern taverns and bars and hotels and places like that. And again, throughout the entire state. He also, in his book, he covers a little bit of Washington, D.C., so he has some locations in the Capital District, including like Arlington National Cemetery, Ford's Theater, a few places like that, too, as well.
Well, I've heard a little bit about Ford's Theater, perhaps, being haunted, but and the Arlington Cemetery, naturally, the setting is correct, just like the Civil War graveyards.
Right.
Do you remember an incident in that book about Arlington? What's going on there?
I don't remember particularly an incident. I don't know if he covers this in his story or not, to be honest with you, but, you know, Arlington was originally in the Lee family, the Robert E. Lee family. His wife owned that property, and the mansion that still stands on the cemetery is the Custis Lee Mansion. It's where Robert E. Lee and his wife, Martha Custis, you know, lived before the war. When the war broke out, the United States government basically just requisitioned the property as kind of an insult to Lee, but also, you know, for proximity to Washington, and established a cemetery there. And there have been stories about, well, not stories, there is a mass grave in Arlington.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's at the site of the mansion, and it's Confederate war dead, unknown Confederate war dead. I don't know how many are there, but it's just kind of a mass grave. And, you know, it's marked and everything, but people have talked about, you know, seeing strange figures and apparitions and things around that area. I don't know if Mike covers that particular incident or not, to be honest with you, but he said in his book that he thought Arlington, you know, was probably one of the more haunted places. He said it was one of the places that he went to where he could really feel, you know, that there were presences there. A lot of the places, you know, he didn't experience anything, but talked about what other people had experienced.
But he felt something there.
Yeah, he said it was a very visceral feeling, you know. And I can imagine this. He said that, you know, you go there and there's half a dozen funerals or more being conducted on a daily basis because of, you know, the current war. And he said that's just, you know, that's pretty tragic by itself, you know.
Sure. America's Haunted Road Trip. That's an interesting name for this book series.
Right. Well, the idea is that we're positioning these books as sort of paranormal travel books. Every writer, like I said, has to go to these places themselves and write about them, but they all have to be open to the public. And so even in the back of each book, there's like a short, like a travel guide, you know, literally giving the address of the location, phone number, if it has certain hours of operation, you know, when it's open. So we really are encouraging people to get out and go visit these places and take a road trip.
That's a great marketing idea and a great idea.
I think so. I think it's a good one. I think it'll work.
Now, people who are listening probably are not hanging on the edge of their chair, and later they'll say, that was pretty interesting about those haunted travel guides. Do you have a website for that?
There is. It's americashauntedroadtrip.com.
Okay, good. And so you're going to do what, about four books a year or so?
Yeah, we think probably four. Like I said, we have 2009 already slotted with the authors that I told you. I'm looking at 2010, maybe some of the larger states. I don't have any writers for them yet, but I'm thinking perhaps New York, California, Florida. I'm not sure where else, but some of the more heavily populated states, maybe Massachusetts or something like that.
So, anyway, you've left where you used to live in Ohio, and now you're over in Cincinnati.
Right.
Have you had a chance to visit any hauntings there yourself personally?
Is Cincinnati
a haunted town?
Yeah, it is. In fact, in my book, in my Ghost Hunting Ohio book, which you know originally came out in 2004, and like I said, has been reissued this fall. There are places in Cincinnati that I did research, did some paranormal research, and they're really interesting. Like the Cincinnati Art Museum, for instance, which is a really well-known art museum. They've got a few different ghosts there. a security guard told me about seeing a figure late at night after the museum was closed that she described as looking like a monk, wearing long black monk robes. And oddly enough, or I should say fittingly enough, it was located in sort of the medieval section of the museum, where all this medieval art is. And it was actually located, she saw it in an area where they had brought in old walls, actual physical walls from an old medieval chapel in Spain. And that's where she saw this monk. So she turned around and she just felt a feeling there was something behind her. She turned around and she looked, she saw this black hooded, like monk-like figure. She described it as being about 7 or 8 feet tall, which is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that as she watched it, that it rose straight up from the floor to the ceiling and just disappeared into the ceiling.
Wow,
that was pretty.
They moved the thing from Spain to here, and the ghost came along.
Well, you know, I mean, there is a theory that ghosts can't attach themselves to inanimate objects. So it's very possible that's what happened. Maybe the monk, you know, it was a monastery or it was a church or a chapel of some kind. There could have been monks there. I don't know the history in Spain. And, yeah, it's very possible that, you know, maybe the spirit of a monk has gone along with it to protect it or just attached to it. I don't know. But that's pretty amazing. And there's been other sightings of other kinds of spirits in that in the museum as well from some of the docents that work there and some of the security guards and even the museum art director herself, or himself, I should say, actually saw a person in a Civil War uniform walk into the office. And when he went in to sort of chase after him, there was nobody in the office.
Mm.
And there had been a former art director that did serve in the Union Army during the Civil War. They think it may have been him. So.
When we talk about museums, that seems to be a logical place that a ghost might hang out to me. Maybe not. You've done more research about it than I have. Are museums normally haunted?
Well, you know, it's funny, but I've got a couple. This one here, I also, when I wrote Ghost Hunting Illinois, I went to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And they have a couple of ghosts there. And one of them, well, one of the displays in there is a German U-boat that was captured during World War II and, in fact, was the only U-boat that the Allies actually, you know, captured intact. And the story behind that, one of the stories behind it, is that the commander, at one point when the submarine was being attacked by Allied forces, they were dropping depth charges on it and everything else, he kind of lost it while he was in the sub, and he committed suicide. He shot himself, which is not a good thing to do when you're under attack and you're in a sub underwater and you're the commander.
Yeah, that's true. But also, I've discussed this with other people. It seems to me that when back in World War II and before, if you were a prisoner of war, it was not necessarily a great thing. You know, it was kind of, so committing suicide rather than being captured, I think that happened more than once.
That's probably true.
On both sides.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's probably true, and that may have been his reason. But, you know, they say that his spirit, his ghost, is still attached to the sub, which is on display in the museum now. The people that I spoke to there, some of the volunteers that actually worked that exhibit area, have talked about going through the sub. They have to actually go through it to turn the lights on and off to, you know, open the exhibit inside, because people can actually go into the sub and walk through. They report, you know, being touched, being pushed, things like that, from what they think is the spirit of this former commander of the U-boat there. So to answer your question, I think, yeah, I think museums can be haunted places. Natural museums like that, or museums that have any kind of artifacts that aren't sort of just man-made, but, you know, came from some other place and have a history, whether they're art pieces or like a submarine, you know, have some history attached to them. And so that history may just manifest itself in the form of, you know, a person's spirit who had something to do with that.
We talked before in our last interview about the nature of these hauntings, the ghosts themselves, whether they're something to fear or not, and
right.
You don't seem to have much fear about it.
Well, no, I don't. And to be honest, in all the places that I've been to, I've never felt like there was anything of a harmful or malicious or evil nature, which is not to say that I haven't talked to people who have had exactly opposite experiences, but that has not been my experience. Mine has always been that they've either been relatively, you know, benign, where kind of just nothing happens, something moves or whatever, but, you know, nobody's throwing a bloody head at you or anything like that, or that they've actually been sort of inspirational moments. And I know I've talked to people who have had these things happen to them in various locations, and they'll say something like, well, you know, I recognize that that was my grandfather or something, and I felt, you know, very comforted by that, or at peace, or they considered a beautiful moment. Those are the stories that I hear far more often than anything else.
I understand that. I guess Hollywood, by its own nature, is one that made the ghost more fearful.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. If you stop and think about it, there are apparitions of some sort, either some sort of freak of nature, a dimensional replay or something going on there. It would be pretty hard for them to get physical.
That's right. I mean, most of the time, you know, what you're referring to, a lot of times there's a term called residual haunting, which, or sometimes it's called a psychic imprint. And basically it simply means that the energy that person or that event created back in 1865 or whatever it is has sort of imprinted itself on the environment. And under the right circumstances, it manifests itself again, especially to somebody who might be more sensitive to this. But what you're really doing is sort of, it's like watching a movie or an old newsreel. It's not anything that you can actually interact with. It's not actually a physical being or entity. It's
right.
Really
you mentioned the Virginia writer and the book and Civil War graveyards. We see a lot of that, or hear about a lot of that. I haven't seen it personally. You have people going to old Civil War graveyards in the mm-hmm. South, and they see a man on a horse, and he's doing the same thing every time they go.
Right. And see, that to me is a prime example of what I'm talking about, you know, because people do report the same thing. Well, we saw a guy on a horse ride by, and it was like in the middle of the night, and he rode by the bridge east to west. And, you know, somebody a month later will say, well, it was, you know, it was at night, a guy on a horse rode by east to west. I mean, they report the same thing. And so to me, that's simply this kind of newsreel thing that I'm talking about. Where mm-hmm. And at some point, I don't know when, but at some point that energy will dissipate. I mean, it will be gone. But, you know, for a while, people are going to be seeing it, which is much different than having a kind of, event where you wake up and there's somebody sitting in a chair by your bed and you recognize it as your great aunt Martha, and she speaks to you by name and says, "How are you doing?" And you say, "Fine," and then she disappears. That's a much, much different event. That is what they call an intelligent haunting, you know. There is something there. What that something is still is debatable, but it's something.
Well, it could be the mind playing tricks, but if it were real, it might be, like you said, a real haunting, a visitor from the other side.
I think right. We have three possibilities when you're talking about ghosts. I think that the first one is either that ghostly manifestations, ghosts themselves, are simply manifestations of natural laws of physics and other sciences that we just don't understand yet. You know, just like 200 years ago, people had never heard of microwaves or ultraviolets or
sure.
anything like that. So that might be one possibility. The second thing might be, as you said a little bit earlier, that, you know, it's something that we manifest ourselves for whatever reason, either subconsciously or even in sort of a wish fulfillment thing that we'd love to see our dear departed aunt again, you know. So, boom, there she is. In other words, we create it from our own neurology, our own brain chemistry. The third thing is that they're real.
Yeah, I started to say, there's always the chance that we're dealing with something that's real.
Exactly. I mean, they might be entities of some kind, whether they could actually be the departed spirits of, you know, the dead people, or they could be, and there's theories now that talk about them being, maybe entities from another universe, quantum physics talk.
Right, another reality.
Right, exactly.
So leaking over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kind of bumping up into each other every now and then.
You talk about these instant replays, and in that New Jersey book, you said that there was a haunted bordello. Did you say that? Never mind. You know where I'm going. Forget it.
Yeah. I know where you're going with that. I got to talk to Laura about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've enjoyed your writing alone and your teaching, and now this is a new role for you. Editor in chief of the series?
Well, yes, I'm editing the series, you know, for the publisher. I'm doing it. I don't work for the publisher. Well, the publisher is paying me, but I'm not on staff. I'm a freelancer.
Sure, I understand.
But yes, I have the responsibility of first of all finding the writers for these various books and signing them to a contract, and then working with them on each one of their books to make sure, you know, it comes through the way we want it, the style that we're looking for, sort of the flavor of the whole series. It's a different role for me. It's more work, and as I say, I'm still writing on my own, working on my own books as well, too. So
you got another book you're writing?
I have two that I'm actually looking at right now, and one is it's tentatively titled Ghosts and Gods, and this is coming out of sort of my experiences in the last 3 years, where as I've been talking about ghosts at libraries and universities and on shows like yours or whatever, invariably people start talking about religion and how, you know, ghosts either play into their religious beliefs or don't play into their religious beliefs. And so I started looking at that question a little bit larger, like, you know, what are ghosts and work into one's, faith, the particular faith. And taking it a step further, what does that say about demons? What does it say about God?
Yeah.
You know, these are all spiritual entities from ghosts right on. And so I'm looking at this. I'm actually sort of doing a comparative study of most of the world's, you know, major religions, and I'm talking to religious leaders. And I'm trying to locate and go to haunted sacred sites. You know, haunted church, haunted synagogue, haunted Hindu temple, haunted mosque.
That's a good idea.
You know, you name it.
And, you know, most of these religions have references to ghosts.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, in the Bible, I think there's some references to the ghosts.
Right, and if you look in, the Bible certainly has them, and if you look in the holy texts of other other faiths, they all have ghosts and spirits and devils and demons and whatever. And so, you know, what is the nature of all that? I'm interested in the question. And so I'm going to be exploring that in one book. The second one I'm working on is similar, but I'm looking at ghosts on an international basis, sort of culture. How is a Japanese ghost and Japanese ghost lore, let's say, different from ghosts and ghost lore in America? How do those two differ from ghosts in South Africa?
Or India or wherever.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm finding, again, sort of these books are very closely tied together because a lot of times the differences are based not only on culture, but they are also based on that culture's religious, you know, expression too. So in the Middle East, if most people are Muslim, you know, they're going to have different views than, let's say, somebody in Italy, where, you know, 90% of the population is Roman Catholic. Or Japan, where they might be Shinto or Buddhist or whatever. So, but I'm looking at the cultural aspect and sort of different hauntings, going to international hauntings. I've done a few of those already, too. So I have two I'm working on, and they're going to take some time to do.
Well, great. We'll look forward to those. Let me see. You got four books coming out in 2009, the only two this year, right, plus yours?
Well, no, there's four, because, yeah, two plus my
two right.
Reprints. So we have four out this year.
Right. Four a year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's 12 years.
Yeah.
Actually, 13, I guess.
Right.
So you've got your career planned out.
I suppose so.
Okay, let's run quickly over. We're about out of time here, okay, on our half hour. But basically, the name of the series again is?
Yeah, the name of the series is America's Haunted Road Trip.
And there is a website that,
yes,
they can check.
Yes, AmericasHauntedRoadTrip.com.
And the current four books is your two books, Ghost, right, Hunting in Illinois and Ohio.
Ghost Hunting Ohio, Ghost Hunting Illinois, Ghost Hunting Virginia, and Ghost Hunting New Jersey. That's the books that are out now.
And do you see you jumping in with a couple more books in that series, or are all the rest of the 48 going to be by other writers?
No, I think there's a few that I might do. I have a lot of family, including my parents in Florida. I know that state very well, and that might be one that I might do. I grew up in Connecticut, lived there for many years. I might do Connecticut. So there's a couple that I might do myself yet.
Well, good, John. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Jerry.
And I'm glad you like your new move to Cincinnati.
I do.
And we'll stay in touch.
All right, thanks. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.